Hey, welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
I'm just so grateful you're here to celebrate Christmas Eve with us. And I just want to bring you into just a little bit of ethnic family stuff at Christmas. Because, you know, how many of y'all are like from an Italian background or maybe an ethnic background? All right. So how many of you, sadly, like my wife, have married into it? Yeah, I'm sorry. It's okay. There's a reward for you in heaven. I have to tell you a story about my mother. Now, she doesn't want me to tell this, but I don't care, so I'm going to do it anyway. My mom, this Christmas, I called my mom, because remember, she has five sons, and we don't have feelings, and so we just kind of say, hey, what do you want for Christmas? We expect her to tell us, because we don't know, and we can't feel and think for our mom, which has been a great gift that we brought into our marriages, but that's another story for another day. But anyway, I said, Mom, what do you want for Christmas? And she said, I'd like a new toilet. I said, pardon me, Mom, what did you say? Yeah, honey, I'd like a new toilet. I said, does it not work? I said, you know, Mom, you have five sons. If something's not working, we'll get you a new toilet. I mean, you know, you have five of us. You know, it's like, well, I said, why do you want a toilet? Well, I said, no, Mom, that's weird. You got to tell me why you want a toilet for Christmas. Well, honey, it's kind of outdated. I said, well, that's fine, but we're not going to get you a toilet for Christmas. We'll get the toilet, but what do you want for Christmas? I said, but because I know my mom, I'm like, you want a new toilet that's outdated? She says, well, here it is. You know, I was thinking that when I die, it'll be easier to sell this place if you had an updated toilet. Like, I said, that's just crazy. I said, I love you, but that's just some serious, you just chewing some serious crazy, Mama, right there. That's crazy. What it does show you is what happens in the heart of a person who's given their life for people. And I'm so grateful for her. I mean, she's loved God for, my goodness, going on five decades, led her family to Christ. I'm so, so grateful for her walk with God. And to this day, still lives for God, walks with God, leads people to Jesus. But that's just weird. And but I just thought I'd just, you know, because those of you that aren't a part of ethnic families, or the, you know, this just a, we just have a chunk of crazy the rest of y'all don't have. We thought we'd let you in on a little, just a little piece of crazy. But I want to take you into a place in understanding the part of Christmas that usually escapes people, which is basically the reason why. It's a crazy time. It gets busy in 2020. Come on, has 2020 just been nuts? This has been like a crazy, crazy, crazy year. But I want to take you into a moment in God, my hope today on Christmas Eve, to give you a great understanding of the why. And what I believe if God is able to touch your heart, that you can leave here unwrapping the greatest gift ever given to man, the person of Jesus. Almost all the Christmas songs that you sing, the Christmas carols, either have an amazing message or most of them, many of them have an incredible story behind them. Oh, Holy Night, what an incredible, incredible message. There's another Christmas song I just want to bring you into just for a minute to set a context for the world in which we're living today. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow was a poet. He was born in the early 1800s, died about 1882. And he was known for the Paul Revere poem, you know, but also the Christmas bells. And most of you may not know the whole poem. I certainly don't. I probably was not, let's just say, in that part of my English classes, I was probably not doing so well as far as in the poetry category. But we all recognize the opening line of the Bells of Christmas is, I heard the bells on Christmas Day, the old familiar carols play. We all know that song. I want to take you behind the Bells of Christmas, a little bit behind it, because the context in which he wrote this song is so similar to how we're living today. You see, when this song was written, he was trying to provide hope in his own heart for a time when there was none. And even in his own life, there was virtually no hope. And so seven times in the song, he quotes what the angels said to the shepherds. Literally, as you just heard Lara come out and share the Christmas story with you, in that simple, simple statement that the angel said, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. So seven times throughout the song, and if you will, the poem, each stanza ends with that statement. And yet, this was a very difficult time in his life. It was during the Civil War. And the Civil War, of course, was a horrible time in this nation's history. You'll hear people say things of this nature today. We're living in unprecedented times. Yes and no. They are unprecedented to us, but not in American history. That was a time in American history that was unimaginable. And Longfellow, of course, being a poet, was obviously a very sensitive man. And if you read his writings, and there's a lot of statements that he's made, that it was a torturous time for him watching his nation be divided. Really similar to kind of what we're seeing today, absent an actual civil war. But right in the beginning of the Civil War, his wife was writing a letter, and she rolled it up and was to seal it and put it in an envelope, if you will, to seal it with wax. And as she was doing that, she caught the house on fire. And she passed away from the fire. And then he, trying to save her, was burned as well. The Civil War, his nation's in unimaginable peril. I mean, it's literally brother against brother, if you will, killing one another. It's a horrible time to be alive. He just lost his wife. He himself has been burned. And then the Civil War is on, and his son, Charlie, gets shot in the Civil War in the back. It nicks his spine. This is about 3 weeks before Christmas that year. And his son, nicked in the back, they didn't think he was going to live. He had a long convalescence. He did live, but as far as Longfellow knew, at that moment, he was going to lose his son as well. This is a really dark time. And in the midst of this song about hope, he throws one stanza in about how he felt in the middle of proclaiming this hope that's in God. And I want to read it to you because it's so clear of how many people would feel right now today. And I'm quoting, he said, "And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men." It's exactly how people feel today. Here's a man trying to pour hope out of his soul, but he stops in the middle of it. He said, I know there's hope in God, but this is how I really feel. What I see and what I feel mocks these words. And that's exactly what we're living in today. I want to help you to live beyond that. Longfellow had a view of that verse meant and what that scripture was, that would be peace on earth. He felt it was actually proclaiming there would be peace between human beings. But that's not really what the Bible's referring to. It's talking about a peace that was no longer there between God and man because of the sin of man. The same frustrations that he felt, people are feeling today. And I want to help you take you into a place, my hope, in God today, that will help you walk above the frustrations, the fears, and the conflict that we live and are living through as a nation and as a world. It's been an amazing, terrible year with just the terrible things that have happened, plus the stuff that happens to people in their everyday life to begin with. Jesus in the Bible was prophetically spoken of as the Prince of Peace, and that's what Longfellow is actually referring to, which is what the angels were referring to when they pronounced this to the shepherds. Except this was actually spoken about Jesus as Prince of Peace in the book of the prophet Isaiah 700 years before the birth of Christ. And the prophet Isaiah speaks prophetically about a coming Messiah. And I want to read you what he said about Jesus prophetically 700 years before he came. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 says this, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God and the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end." I think it's clear that when you see Jesus incarnate in the flesh, the clearly Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, he's God in the flesh. The Everlasting Father, God manifest in human flesh before men. But then it says he's the Prince of Peace. If you don't understand what that's referring to, you think, well, you know, that one hasn't worked out so well. Because there's really never been peace on earth from the time Jesus died on the cross. So what's he referring to? Why was he actually called the Prince of Peace? How does that have any relationship to the way you live your life today? So the angels appear, an angel appears to the shepherds, and I want to read you what they said, and I want you to go a little bit deeper into it than just hearing a scripture you may have heard over at Christmas many, many times over. And let me read it out of Luke chapter 2, verse 10. And the angel said to them, the shepherds, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings," or good news, "of great joy, which shall be to all people." Say it out loud, all people. Let me stop here just for a moment. You'll hear us say thousands of times over in this church, we exist to help all people realize that God loves them unconditionally. This is where it came from. The proclamation that Jesus died for all people. And if you're not careful, religion will taint you and make you see God as loving some and not loving others. For those who maybe have earned more of his love, he'll lean more toward them. But those who have not, or maybe even those who deny him, he loves them less. It's not true. He said, this is great joy, great news for every human being, no matter what they've done, no matter who they've done it with, no matter what was done to them, whether they love God or they hate God. He said, I'm here to pronounce to you that there is good news of great joy for all people. Verse 11, he said this, "But unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And then suddenly there was with that angel a now multitude, or thousands, of heavenly hosts or angels praising and saying this. So this is loud. Imagine the sight. And they were saying this, "Glory to God in the highest." And I'm sure it was deafening. "On earth, peace and God's goodwill toward men." A Savior has been born, he said. A Savior to save you from what? Through the years of, as I've talked to people about their relationship with God, and you talk about being saved, as it were, and people actually make fun of it. Yeah, I'm saved from what? I'm saving stamps or whatever. Saved from what? What did Jesus have to save me from? The consequence of my sin. You see, there was no way for you, no way for me to pay the debt back of sin. When sin touched my life, and the Bible tells us, and I don't think virtually anybody would ever, under any circumstances, would not admit to the fact that they have sinned at some point in their life against God. Whether you believe in God or not, you've done something that you would at least categorize as something you shouldn't have done. The Bible said that all have sinned. Listen, all have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God, and there is no way back for any of the all. And the only way they can be rescued is if a righteous God rescues them. But here's the problem. He's a righteous God, and he cannot have sin in his presence. And there cannot then be a redeemer among those that are stained with sin. And so he is going to send a Savior into the earth for the very purpose of paying a debt that those that he loved so much could not pay. And it's so important that you understand. That's why Jesus is called. He said it so exclusively. "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one will come to my Father except through me." It's why it was so important that he be born of a virgin. It's not a fairy tale. You see, the sin entered the earth through one man. A man that was born perfectly. A man that was born without sin. And that man committed treason against God. And sin, and then death by sin, entered the world. And then again, God would, through a man with a miraculous birth, but this would not just be the creation of God. God would robe himself in human flesh in Jesus. It's called theologically as the hypostatic union. God and man becoming one. God robing himself in flesh, born of a virgin. And this man would now bear the punishment for the sin of the world. And here's the reality that when I die, my sin has to be paid for. I will pay for it myself, being separated from God forever, or I will receive the payment of a Savior who loved me and gave himself for me. The angel pronounced, this is good news to all people, peace on earth, God's goodwill toward men. Jesus didn't come to bring peace between nations. He didn't come to bring peace between family members. Now, that can be an outcome of a relationship with God. That's not the purpose of what he's talking about. He came to bring peace, the scripture said, between God and man. Because there was no way for that chasm to be bridged. No matter how good you are, no matter how much you try, no matter, go to a church, go to whatever, sacraments of a church, nothing will bridge that gap for you. No one. And we were lost in our sin, and a righteous God looked at every human being and said, you are guilty. And there is no way for you to pay your way out. It's an insurmountable debt. But the Bible said God's mercy boasted against his judgment. And he so loved the world that he gave his very own son. Jesus became literally the Son of God, robed in human flesh for one simple reason. So that the sinless, spotless Son of God could be executed, crucified in my place. And the Bible tells us out of the same prophet Isaiah that the wrath of God that was due me was literally poured out on him on that cross. And he bore a punishment that he didn't deserve, as he never tasted sin. But where the first Adam, if you will, sinned by choice and treason, this, the last Adam, is what the Bible calls Jesus, would take the sin of the world by choice upon himself and bear our punishment. And all of the wrath of God was poured about, that was due me, was poured out on him on that cross. And he brought together, reconciled. God is the Christmas hymn, and sinners reconciled. Yet so many precious people try to do it on their own, through church, through religion, or they just ignore it. Oh, but there's an eternity on the other side of this life. Romans chapter 5 gives a clear picture of it. In verse 1, it said, therefore, since we have been made right with God, in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 speaks of this. It said that God was in Christ reconciling man to himself. And here's the message he tells every Christian to proclaim to every human being, all people, whether they, doesn't matter what they believe, doesn't matter what they've done, good or bad. You tell all people that this is the story of the good news. And here it is. It's so simple. He said, you tell all people that God was working through Jesus and reconciling the world to himself. Now listen, no longer holding men's sins against them. If any man, the scripture would go on to say, comes to Christ, he becomes a brand new creation. And everything that's been made new is only and fully of God, not of man. And you become right with God through a Savior. And God and sinners reconcile. Peace on earth isn't about peace between nations or humans. It's that there was no way for man and God to be reconciled except for a Savior. I love the song that Maddie sang, O Holy Night. I love this line where it says, long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appear and a soul felt its worth. We live in a world that extracts worth out of people. We live in a world that demeans you and pulls you aside. And literally, we live in a world that will build you up just to tear you down. We live in a world that does everything but provide worth for people. It extracts it. And there's an enemy of man's soul who wants to steal and kill and destroy and break and wipe away any value and worth in your life. And what he said, but I love what that song refers to, is that when you understand, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter how you got where you are, whether by choice or by circumstance, it doesn't matter. When you understand the God of all eternity loved and valued you so much that he literally came to bear your punishment. God so loved you that he did this. He said, when a person comes to that understanding, it will be the first time they truly feel their worth. Because your worth won't come from an income, a job, a person, prestige, whatever. Your worth will be felt when you realize the God of the universe said, I redeemed you according to the scripture. Here's what it said. Not with silver and gold or anything that will perish, but I redeemed you with my very own blood. Your appraised value to God is the blood of his son. That's what Jesus came to do. And when you come to that understanding that he died for me and rescued me, then you get we all get to make a choice of what we do with Jesus. I'm going to read one more scripture to you and then I want to pray. But before I do, you know, being a pastor, when you meet people that don't know what you do, you try not to tell them. I'm not ashamed of it. It's just people get weird when they find out. You're talking for a while and all of a sudden, hey, what do you do? Here we go. I'm a pastor. Oh, I'm sorry. And they back up and I'm like, no, it's nothing to be sorry for, but I get it. You know, I'm not religious. I said, well, me either. They said, well, you have to be. I said, no, I hate religion. What kind of church you go to? I said, the kind that hates religion. He said, well then what religion are you? None. You're an atheist. No, I'm a Christian. I thought you said you weren't religious. I'm not. Religion is when men and women try to earn God. And they give you their 15 hoops, and then this one brings their 9 hoops. And if you jump through all our hoops and cross this mountain and through the prairie and desert and hate your life, that'll make God happy. Jesus wasn't lost. I was. He found me. He rescued me. It is an intimate relationship with the God of the universe who purchased you with his very own blood. And you get to decide what you do with Jesus. Not religion, not church, but Jesus. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, thanks be to God for his unspeakable and his indescribable gift, Jesus. It's indescribable. It's unspeakable that the God of the universe would so intimately love me. Not when I was worthy of it, but when I was dead in my sin, the enemy, the Bible said, of God, and yet he died for me. And there's an interesting thing that Jesus is called the unspeakable, the indescribable gift. That means you can't earn this. The moment you earn something, it ceases to be a gift. How many of you, when you get your paycheck, realize they didn't give you a gift? You earned that, right? And if they didn't pay you and they said, hey, you're going to pay me, I'm not giving you your gift this month. Gift. You don't earn this. But you get to choose what you do with this gift. So I want to pray for every one of us here, those watching online, with every head bowed, every eye closed. If you were to die and enter into an eternity, do you know where you'd spend it? Jesus said there is a heaven to gain, and Jesus said there is a hell to shun. And oh, the price, an awful price was paid to redeem me from me, John, sin-stained John, bearing my own punishment. And when we die, either we receive the payment of a Savior and go into eternal life because of the free gift of eternal life from a Savior that loved me, or I will pay for my sins on my own. There are only two options. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, he died on a cross for your sins. He bore the weight and the penalty of your sin. He was buried. He rose from the dead and conquered death. And then he affords to you the opportunity to receive him into your life. He's not a religion or a thought pattern or a belief system. He is the Son of the living God, and he is alive, seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. And he ever lives, the Bible said, to make intercession for you. So what will you do with Jesus today is the question. In a few short hours, gifts are going to be getting opened everywhere. I imagine what that would feel like if you went into the room where your kids or grandkids were and there were gifts there and they ignored them. And just ignored them and just walked away. Now, it's not going to happen. But if it did, you would be horrified because you know what it cost you and Santa to go get all that stuff. But here's the reality. Jesus is the unspeakable, indescribable gift. And for so many precious people, he remains unopened in their life. They ignore him. And they say, I'm good on my own. I'll make it myself. He's indescribable, the love of God. I want to pray for you and ask you this simple question. What will you do with him? What will you do with the one who died for you? He turns no one away if you invite him into your life. He'll make you brand new. Your sin debt will be canceled because of the Savior. That's why we celebrate Christmas. That's why He came. That's why He brought God and sinners to reconciliation. That's why He's called the Prince of Peace. And today He can become your Prince of Peace, reconciling you to God if you choose to open that gift. And that's between you and God and your decision. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, those of you including watching online, if you've never given your life to Christ, you've never received the free gift of eternal life by receiving Christ into your life, or maybe you're not certain that you've done that. Maybe you feel like maybe you've put your faith in going to church or the sacraments of a church. No church can make you a Christian. No church's sacraments can make you a Christian, including this one. God didn't send a church or a religion or a denomination. He sent Himself, His Son. It's what you do with Him that will change the outcome of your eternal life. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you desire to receive Christ in your heart, to make Him the Lord and the Savior of your life, I want to pray for you right where you're seated. In fact, in a moment, I'll ask you to raise your hand, and then the whole church will pray that prayer out loud together with you. Jesus will come into your heart. The scripture said He turns no one away, and you will have unwrapped the greatest gift on Christmas Eve that has ever been given in the universe, the Son of God, Jesus, the indescribable, unspeakable gift. So if you desire to make Christ the Lord of your life, with every head bowed and every eye closed, right now, right where you're seated, between you and God, I'm not going to call you out or embarrass you. Say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. Please pray for me. Lift your hand right now and I'll pray for you to make Christ the Lord of your life. Do it right now and I'll pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. God bless you. Thank you. Including those of you online. Listen, if you raised your hand, or you should have, pray this out loud where you hear it with your own ears. Listen, Jesus will come into your heart. He'll never leave you or forsake you. Pray it where you hear it, and we're going to pray it together with you. Pray it out loud where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father. Say it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to You in the name of Jesus. I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart. I open the door of my life. And Jesus, I invite You in. I receive You now to be my Savior and my Lord. Thank You for coming. I am now a child of God. My sin debt is canceled. Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Give them a hand, would you? Praise God.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Victory Family Church. If you enjoyed listening, please take a moment to rate, review, and share. For more resources, including locations and service times, please visit lifeatvictory.com.